Welcome, friends, to this edition of The Grace Hour. Once again, broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. Oh, it's great to be with you, friends, on this Tuesday morning edition of our broadcast. And for me personally, great to be back in the booth. It's been a while, it seems. And just happy to be back with The Grace Hour, friends and family, and looking forward to today's broadcast. And, of course, this week's theme, which is having a heart on fire. And that will be the theme all this week on our Grace Hour broadcasts. And we're looking forward to both today's program and the rest of the week as well. And, of course, Thursday's Grace Hour broadcast, a message from Pastor Stevens entitled The Heartbeat of God. And I think that you'll enjoy all of these subjects, all of these themes, friends, as we develop them throughout the week with you. It's going to be a great week of broadcasting right here live on the Grace Hour. Remember, friends, you can listen to our broadcast live at gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and a number of podcasts as well. Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, and Stitcher, just to name a few. And again, we're excited about having you join us today. We do want you to know that following today's devotional message, we will open the phone lines, giving you, our listeners, the opportunity to join us live on the air with your comments, questions, testimonies, counseling needs, and as always, your prayer requests. Well, they're always welcome here on the Grace Hour. And we're looking forward to hearing from you. Here are the numbers. If you'd like, you can jot them down, and we will give you those numbers throughout the broadcast as well. Toll-free in all of North America, that number is 800-338-7060. Again, that's the toll-free number, 800-338-7060, and the local number, 410-483-3700, for all of you that are listening locally here in the greater Baltimore area. Well, again, our theme, having a heart that is on fire. Who doesn't want to have a heart on fire for the things of God? Immediately, and we're joined in the studio today by Pastor Stuart Gorham, friends, and great to have him with us on our broadcast today. But when you think of God's message in particular to one church in Revelation chapter 3, the church of Laodicea, where he said to them, because of the condition of the souls of those in that local assembly, I would that you were either hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, it makes me sick. Again, the options are pretty clear, aren't they? Hot or cold. It makes sense that if someone is cold, and I think we can all identify with this, then you sense how cold you are, and it makes you look for warmth. If you're hot, as far as the things of God are concerned, you're in a good, healthy condition. But when you're lukewarm, that's a dangerous place to be, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I was thinking of being, I think of some of our trips up to New York City, and it's freezing. We would go for Christmas, and I remember we go into a coffee place, and you're just dying for a nice, hot cup of coffee. And you get this lukewarm cup of coffee, and it's like this isn't going to make it right now.
Doesn't cut it.
I need to be warmed up. And yeah. This lukewarm, and I think that our fervency is what really blesses the heart of God when he sees that we're on fire for him, that we're passionate.
Yes.
We're passionate.
We're hungry hearts.
Yeah, we're not passive toward him. We're passionate.
Amen.
Toward him.
Well, we're going to take a look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 24 today. And, of course, this is the story of those two disciples that were returning on the road to Emmaus. And, well, this, of course, were the events that followed Christ's resurrection and prior to his ascension. And I think that it provides such hope to souls that are struggling, souls that maybe are experiencing doubt, souls that are, in this case, Jesus referred to these two men as slow of heart to believe. This is a source of encouragement for all of us, because I find it fascinating that before Christ ascended, he said, I've got to find these two. I know what they're going through. I know that they're struggling. I know that the events that have occurred have really, created a little bit of a crisis in their lives. And like the good shepherd, he's going to go after these two sheep that maybe are straying. I think that that provides such hope to any and all of us when we experience these times in our lives, that God doesn't write us off, that God doesn't give up on us, that God doesn't say, how could you do this? I mean, after everything that you heard from me, after all of the warnings that I gave you, that I foretold all of these events, how could you possibly let this happen? But he didn't. He didn't do anything of that nature. What he did is that he sought them out. He went and he found them in the condition on the road to Emmaus. And of course, he appeared to them. They didn't recognize him. And they walked along and he asked them, he said, what is it? What's happened? Why do you look so discouraged? Why are you downcast? Why are you so sad? Apparently, their countenances gave their hearts away. Mm-hmm. It was apparent to him that something terrible had happened in their lives. And then, of course, that's when they responded by saying, well, are you a stranger here in Jerusalem? Haven't you heard about any of the events that surround the person of Jesus of Nazareth? And, you know, he kept egging them on, so to speak, saying, no, tell me, what's happened? And then, of course, they said, well, we had hoped that it was him that would deliver us. And, of course, the deliverance that they were looking for was not the deliverance that God was going to give them. Their hope was, we hoped that he was going to deliver us from Caesar, from our Roman oppressors. But Jesus is thinking, no, I'm not here to deliver anybody from Caesar. I'm here to deliver you from Satan. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to deliver you from the oppression of Rome. I'm here to deliver you from the oppression of sin. God always does something far greater than we could even expect him to do. He does exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. So we're not surprised that Jesus again seeks them out. He starts to inquire as to why they're sad, why they're downcast, why they're discouraged, why they're disillusioned. And then, of course, he began to speak to them. And after having this brief conversation with them, he said these words, you fool, slow of heart to believe. And notice this, Pastor, all that the prophets have spoken. He could have said everything that I told you, all of the events that led up to this moment. No, he said all that the prophets have spoken. In other words, you're familiar with the scriptures. You know what the word of God has to say. And then he went on in verse 26 and said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and then entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What was the first thing that he did? He opened the scriptures. Friends, so often the answers that we're looking for are found and discovered when we open the scriptures. We've got to get in our Bibles. We've got to look to the promises of God, because this is where our hope comes from. This is what we build our lives upon, the promises of God. And it says in verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You know, sometimes the answer to our dilemma, our problems, our challenges, our struggles, is to just to have a good old-fashioned Bible study. Open the scriptures. That's the first thing that Jesus did. And then, of course, they drew nigh unto the village where they were headed, and he made as though he had gone further. They constrained him and said, abide with us, for it is toward evening. The day is far spent. And he went and tarried with them. And it came to pass, sat at meat with them. He took bread, blessed it, brake it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. But then he immediately vanished out of their sight. Again, it started with the opening of the scriptures. And I just want to throw this in a little bit, taking us to a Christmas message, a Christmas story. We remember the story of the wise men that came from the east, and they were seeking the birth of this king, this Messiah. And remember the star that God gave them, guided them to Jerusalem. And when they got to Jerusalem, they inquired of Herod, when they arrived, where the birthplace of this king would take place. And Herod immediately called for the scribes. They brought the scripture. And immediately, from Micah, the fifth chapter, they said he is to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. I find it fascinating that, yes, God used the star to bring them to Jerusalem, but he needed the scriptures to bring them to Jesus. Does God use signs? Does God use events in our lives to get our attention? Absolutely. No question about it. I think all of us could share a testimony or two about how God used this or God used that, a sign, an event, something that someone said, a stirring in our hearts, a number of different ways. But when it comes to seeing Jesus, that's not possible without the scriptures. That's what Jesus did for these disciples. First, he opened the scriptures, and that led to what? The opening of their eyes. And their eyes were opened. He vanished. And then they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened the scriptures? Yes, he opened the scriptures. He opened their eyes. And then they went back to Jerusalem, found the other disciples. You know what they did next? They opened their mouths and they said, he is alive and he is the one who he said he was. So just, you know, you put those three principles together. This is what God does for us. But it all begins with God opening the scriptures. And then the scriptures have a way of opening the eyes of our understanding. And then before you know it, we are testifying about who God is. We are testifying about his power in our lives. We're testifying about what God can do if we give him that opportunity. So to all of our listeners today, you may find yourself in a place where you're struggling. You may find yourself in a place where you are experiencing doubts and you've got questions. You may even be slow of heart to believe. You know, there's a world of difference between someone who is slow of heart to believe and those whose hearts have been hardened. We can't afford to let our hearts get hardened. But if we are slow of heart to believe, there's hope for us. And I believe that Jesus will come and find those who have slow of heart to believe, and he will open their eyes and open the scriptures. And before you know it, they too will be opening their mouths and testifying about the goodness of God, about the grace of God, about the mercies of God, about the love of God, about the patience of God. And again, these principles that we find in the story, there's so many of them. I mean, we could spend hours talking about these principles, but I just love the fact that Jesus, again, having accomplished and finished the work of paying for the sins of the whole world, fulfilling the very purpose of his Father and the very reason as to why he came into this world, to save sinners. You know, you would think that having accomplished all of that, his work was done. But no, not until he goes out of his way and finds these two struggling disciples and gets them back on track. And you know that their hearts were burning. You know that they had been quickened by the scriptures, because that 7-mile journey that took them to Emmaus, they turned right around and took a 7-mile journey back to Jerusalem. Amazing.
Wow.
That's the grace of God.
What a Bible study that was, huh? What a Bible study that was. Just three people in the Bible study. But I would have loved to have been there. The Word of God speaking, the incarnate Word speaking the incarnate Word. Oh my gosh, that is so good. But my heart's just full of just so much of, like, what is that people need? And you said it so much. It's a word. It's just a word. His people just need a word from him, but a rhema.
Yes.
Something, not just the letter, but they need a rhema. And I was reading this, can I just read something?
Sure.
This happened to Abraham Lincoln. And this was after a battle. And it really goes along with this thing about the word. Where did Lincoln's steady hope and depth of courage come from? Mary Todd Seamstress, Elizabeth Keckley, who lived with the Lincolns, records in the book Behind the Scenes what she witnessed Lincoln do on one troubling day. He entered the room where she was fitting a dress for Mary, and he threw himself onto the full-length sofa, covering his face with his hands. A complete picture of dejection, she writes. Mary asked him where he had been, and he abruptly replied, "The War Department." "Any news?" "Yes, plenty of news, but no good news." "It is dark, dark everywhere," he answered. And then Keckley records Lincoln's ensuing actions. He reached forth one of his long arms and took a small Bible from a stand near the head of the sofa, opened the pages of the holy book, and soon was absorbed in reading them. A quarter of an hour passed, and on glancing at the sofa, the face of the president seemed cheerful. The dejected look was gone, and the countenance was lighted up with new resolution and hope. The change was so marked that I could not wonder at it. He read with Christian eagerness and courage, and the hope he derived from the inspired pages made him a new man.
Wow. That's what the scripture does. That's what the Bible does. That's what Bible study does.
It's amazing.
It creates a newness of life in our souls. And again, these disciples on the road to Emmaus, can you imagine what that must have been like? Similar to the fact that when Jesus spoke in the synagogue of his hometown in Nazareth, recorded for us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, and he read from the prophet Isaiah, from the 61st chapter, the first couple of verses, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he hath anointed me to preach the glad tidings, the good news." I mean, can you imagine? You have the living word speaking the written word. Talk about an anointing. And of course, what happened? It says, the Bible says that the eyes of all those that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him, and they marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. That is the direct result of opening the scriptures. We see Jesus, our hearts and our eyes and our mind are stayed and fixed upon him, and we usually marvel at the gracious words that come forth from his mouth. Well, this is such a great subject and a great theme, friends. We want you to join us. The phone lines are open right now. Great time for you to pick up that phone, dial one of these numbers. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number, and the local number, 410-483-3700. That's for those of you listening locally right here in Baltimore. We look forward to hearing from you. Again, the theme this week in the Grace Hour, having a heart on fire. And, you know, a great question. What does it mean for your heart to be set on fire? Well, you know, recently returning from vacation, Pastor Sturge, we were leaving my daughter's house. She lives on the island of Nantucket off the coast of Massachusetts. And we got up that morning, last Saturday, and she said, "There's a terrible fire that is raging in the downtown area, right next to where we take the boat, the ferry, to leave the island." And of course, when we went down there, wow, we witnessed it. It was really incredible. It was a hotel that was built in the 1600s. It was over 330 years old.
Wow.
And the whole building was consumed by flames and it burned to the ground. Fortunately, praise God, no injuries, no fatalities. Everyone was saved and rescued, even though the hotel rooms were filled with people. Just a miracle of grace. But that building was absolutely consumed by the fire. And I think that this is what it means to have our hearts on fire for God. Our hearts are consumed with God. Our hearts are so fixed on him, stayed on him. He's in all of our thoughts. We're seeking his guidance, his direction, his wisdom, his counsel. You know, I remember so vividly, so clearly as a young believer, asking those brothers that were discipling me at the time. I remember the question was, hey, because I had to know. I said, do you always think about God? And their answer was, yes. And I was greatly discouraged when I heard that, because I thought to myself, I don't. I don't always think about God. And he just, the most comforting answer came from Pastor Bill Cannon at the time. He said, but in time, you will too. And he was right. Now, you know, our thoughts are always focused on God and consumed by the things of God. And he's in our, you know, our thoughts. And when we have thoughts that are contrary to who God is and what God thinks about us and what God has said, we bring them into captivity. We cast down any thoughts that are contrary to the knowledge of God or what we believe God says about us. We cast those thoughts down because we know that they have no value in our souls, and they might only serve to condemn us and to keep us from really understanding who we are in Christ. So I think it means that your heart is consumed. But just like that fire that I witnessed last Saturday on Nantucket Island, that building is completely destroyed, and it was so by the fire. Our hearts are not destroyed by the fire of God, but like the burning bush of Exodus chapter 3, the fire burns, but it's not consumed. Our hearts are burning, but unlike what fire does to homes or structures or buildings, it consumes them. Our hearts are not destroyed. They just perpetually stay on fire for God.
Mm. And doesn't it say in Revelations, it describes his eyes, the eyes of Jesus. What are they?
A flame of fire.
A flame of fire. And, you know, just kind of expand what we're talking about. What, and do you remember the message Pastor Stevens preached years ago, Keeping Your Heart on Fire?
Yes.
One of what, it was a series, I think,
series.
Of two or three.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was thinking this morning how when you're in that place of being lukewarm or even being cold, how much you need a rhema from God. You know, you could sit in church week after week and become very familiar with the Word of God, but then you're in a trial, you're in a hard place, and God gives you a personal word, just like he did Abraham Lincoln on the sofa there. He just reached over, grabbed it, started reading it, and at this greatest moment of need, the Lord spoke to him, gave him a rhema, and he was completely released. Can you remember any times when the Lord had given you a personal rhema?
Absolutely, yeah. And the same thing has happened. There's this quickening. Naturally, we have this natural propensity of our souls to cleave to the dust. The only answer, the only way that you can counter that is through the Word of God. The Word of God does what? It quickens us. And that biblical term quickening means it makes us alive. Mm. It literally, we can experience that personal resurrection, if you will, in our souls. We may be downcast. We may be discouraged. We might even be on the brink of depression or despair. But I love what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 says. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left to us, any of you, should seem to come short of it. And this was speaking of a promise of entering into God's finished work, faith, rest. But notice it. It's just a promise. One promise has the power to quicken our hearts and our minds and our very souls. One promise. So again, what's God asking us to do? Mix faith with that promise.
Yep.
Believe that promise. Just accept it as a gift. And then give yourself over to meditate upon that promise and allow that promise to revolve in your mind. And just like a song that you listen to and you keep rehearsing the lyrics over and over again, you can't get it out of your mind. Let the promises of God do the same thing for your soul.
Yep.
And then you're quickened.
Yep.
It's amazing how that happens.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle. So I'm at the end of my first year of Bible college. I'm in Lenox. I'll never forget it. I'm standing in Fokine. If any of you folks on the air, you're listening, know where Fokine was, but it was a big old mansion up the hill from the property, and there was a big piano in the foyer. And I'm standing there by the piano, and I'm very, very discouraged. And I'm thinking of quitting Bible college. I was thinking of leaving Bible college. And I'm just standing there, and all of a sudden, a promise came to my mind out of nowhere. And Jesus said, "Will you also go?" to the disciples. And Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And that was a rhema. And that, just that verse that the Holy Spirit brought to me completely released me and solidified my calling to continue in Bible college. So that's what we mean when we're talking about how the Word just lights a fire when there's nothing there and ignites a fire and can carry you so far. Just one promise, like you said, one promise from the Lord personally.
It's like spiritual spontaneous combustion.
Right.
I mean, spontaneous combustion is when, you know, a fire could just develop out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And spiritually speaking, when we submit to the Word of God, when we mix faith with the Word of God, and I think that that's what's so amazing about coming together and assembling as a body of believers, that, you know, your responsibility is to just wait upon God and listen carefully to what he has to say. Listen carefully to what the Spirit of God has to say, and then you receive it. And then the quickening power of the Word of God takes it from there. And then we're energized by God. And then we have this capacity to do the will of God and to do the work of God in the local assembly.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen without the Scriptures.
Nope.
I mean,
nope, there's no getting around it.
You know, I find it fascinating that before Billy Graham, well, he was interviewed once, and this was before, of course, he passed away. And during the interview, the interviewer asked him, he says, you know, having accomplished so much in your life, do you have any regrets? You know, would you have done anything differently? He says, yes. He says, I would have studied the Scriptures more. Mm. I would have been in my Bible more than I was. Which, you know, you stop and think and say, if Billy Graham is saying that, then I'm in a heap of trouble. But I understood what he meant, you know, because sometimes we can get so caught up with the details of life and the busyness of life that we can neglect getting to our Bibles and neglect the Scriptures because we're just so busy. In some cases, busy doing good things, doing the work of God.
Right.
But we've got to get in our Bibles. The Scriptures have got to be opened unto us by the Spirit of God, because that's what's going to, there's the direct correlation between opening the Scriptures and having hearts that are burning for God. You cannot deny the reality of that.
Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah.
Phone lines are open, waiting for you to join us, friends. 800-338-7060. Locally, 410-483-3700. We have a prayer need. Belinda has reached out to us for prayer. Yes, Belinda. I had a chance to go down there. She's hospitalized here in the Baltimore area. Mm. Went down yesterday and saw her. So, Father, we pray for Belinda. She has a number of physical needs, and we just pray, Father, get her on the road to good health. We pray that you would give the doctors wisdom as they treat her during this time of hospitalization, but we're praying that you would get her on the road to recovery and just to allow her to bring those disciplines into her life that she needs, to incorporate them, and you would graciously, Lord, and patiently just allow her to, well, experience health. Just as her soul prospers, may she prosper physically and in every other sense of the word. So we commit her to your care, and we thank you for her faith and for her portion in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. And we got a question from someone listening on YouTube Live. It says, could you explain more, what is lukewarm actually? mean? When God uses that term in Revelation, the third chapter, addressing the church of Laodicea, what does he mean? What is lukewarmness?
Well, Jesus said it, you're not hot, you're not cold. And I think you said it so well this earlier, that when you're cold, you know you're cold. When you're cold, you know it. I mean, when I get cold, I know I'm cold. When I'm hot, I know I'm hot. I want to go jump in a pool. But when you're lukewarm, you really don't realize where you're at. And that's the Church of Laodicea. And what a picture of many Christians in America, really. Because what was the condition? What was the attitude of those people in that Church of Laodicea? Well, we are rich, right? We have need of nothing. We are rich. We have everything we need material. We are in need of nothing. We are well clothed. And Jesus said just the opposite to them.
Yeah.
He said, you're poor, you're miserable, and you're naked, but you don't know it.
Wow. I mean, it shows all of us, it reminds all of us that we don't really have the ability to evaluate ourselves properly. It's something that we've got to let God do. Because as you said, they said, you know, we're wealthy, we're clothed, and we can see clearly.
That's it, yeah.
And what did God say? You're poor, and you're naked, and you're blind.
Blind.
Are you kidding me? Could we get it that wrong? And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
But that's what a lukewarm soul could do.
Mm-hmm.
Think that they're all right, when in reality, there is so much that needs to be addressed. And it's important for our friends and our listeners to remember that Jesus, what did Jesus say? That condition makes him sick. Now, some have misinterpreted what he said to the Church of Laodicea when he said, because you're neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. Oh, there you go, they say. You can lose your salvation. No, you can't.
No.
You cannot lose your salvation. And that one verse, don't build a doctrine around it. That's not teaching that you can lose your salvation. That's just God saying, that lukewarm condition makes me sick. That's all. And then he gave a prescription for healing. And what did he say? You know, you think you're wealthy? I'm going to counsel you. You buy gold from me. In other words, you need the character and the nature of God in your lives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you think that you're well clothed? No, you need the garments that I will give you, the garments of righteousness in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. And you think you can see clearly? You need the eye salve that I give you, and that will open your eyes spiritually so that you will be able to discern things properly, not only in your church, but in your own personal lives as well. So again, there's always a prescription for healing in each one of those letters to the seven churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3.
Yeah, I have a question. Did Jesus love those two disciples on the road to Emmaus?
Absolutely.
He sure did. He sure did. But he still rebuked them for their slowness to believe. And what does he say in verse 19? As many as I love. There it is. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous. What's the word zealous? It's talking about fire.
Yeah.
Be zealous, therefore, and change your mind. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'd stand at the door and knock. Me, Jesus. You know, Jesus didn't send an angel to talk to those guys on the road to Emmaus. He himself personally drew near to them and walked with them. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And I'm sure that supper that they eat, it was not lukewarm. It was nice, piping hot dinner, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, friends, we're looking forward to hearing from you. Those phone lines are open. How about a phone call or two? Join us live on this Tuesday edition of the Grace Hour. 800-338-7060. That is the toll-free number. And you can join us live on our broadcast today. And those of you listening locally, right here in Baltimore, the number for you to dial, 410-483-3700. We cannot afford to live our lives today without the fire of God consuming us. Simply because the culture and the direction that the culture is moving is so contrary to God.
Wow.
There is everything in the world and the culture that we live in today that seeks to put the fire of God out in our hearts. The question is, how do we keep that fire burning brightly? How do we, you know, how do we stoke the fire? All of us that, you know, have been camping or have been at camp and you have the campfire, well, you know that when you first ignite that fire, it burns brightly.
Mm-hmm.
But after some time, the tendency is for that fire to, you know, and the wood in it to be consumed. And then the fire begins to burn slowly and it begins to become embers. And what do you have to do? You've got to add wood to that fire. And I think that this speaks to the fact that we have to consistently gather together, find that local Bible study that our church has available for us. Don't be delinquent as far as assembling in a local church, right? I mean, take every single opportunity. And you talk about opportunities, just to use our ministry here as an example, you've got the morning devotionals with Pastor Schaller. You've got the Grace Hour from 11 a.m. to noontime, live, Monday through Friday. You've got the lunch wraps that we broadcast online. You've got church services Wednesday evening, Sunday morning, and Sunday evening. You've got the Friday night Bible class with Pastor Schiavelli that's available and open to everyone. You've got Bible college classes when the semester begins at the end of August or early September. You've got all of these amazing opportunities and outreaches, so many different outreaches, such as tonight, the outreaches to the Baltimore area. Again, all of these opportunities, what do they serve to do for our lives when we take advantage of those opportunities? They stoke the fire. You put wood on the fire. You keep the heart burning. And that is so vital and so essential.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you take a coal and you separate it from the other coals, it's going to die out.
That's right.
But as long as those coals are together, they keep each other warm. They
That's
keep
right.
each other hot. It's simple. It's
yeah.
so simple. And you know what? We need each other. We need each other. We were made in the body of Christ to be together, you know? And just another thought real quick before we take this comment, but Pastor Stephen said in that message, keeping your heart on fire, what are some of the things that he did personally? And one of the things he did is he would think about certain people. He would just think about certain, when he felt dull, when he felt like he was getting cool, he would just think about certain people, and the thoughts of those people would warm his heart. Just practical things. He would remember, he'd talk about his mother or just, you know, his wife, his first wife, and how, you know, we could just stop right now and think about people in the church right now and what they've done for us. And it warms our heart. It warms our heart. We think about a soul that we led to Christ. I was thinking this morning about a guy I led to Christ years ago in Gorham, Maine, when I worked at a gas station all winter, and the young teenager. And I'll never forget it. Every time I feel dull or I feel like I don't want to go soul winning or whatever, I think about this kid, and it warms my heart.
Amazing. Sometimes you can warm your heart just by counting your blessings.
Yep.
Let's go to the phones. Tom is joining us from the Baltimore area, and while we take his call, we want to remind you that we still have plenty of time to take yours. So don't hesitate. If you're thinking about it, follow through with that thought and give us a call at 800-338-7060. Tom, thanks for joining us. Go ahead.
Is it okay if an Irishman joins in?
Yes, we love our Irish brothers.
Okay. Tom. Hey, listen, you guys, your lives really speak to me. I just want to share that with everybody who's listening. You guys are awesome, and your life speaks. And what I wanted to share was I was really, I really love what Pastor Sturge was saying about, you know, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And, you know, I was just thinking how God shares things with us, like Pastor Stewart was saying. We get now before we were saved, we were slaves to sin. Now that we're saved, we have a choice. We've been set free. The old Tom Donnelly has been crucified with Christ. So I'm free to make a choice. And now I still have the sin nature, and the nature that my sin nature pops up first. That which is natural comes first, then that which is spiritual. Now the Holy Spirit gives me something from the Word of God. Woo, woo! And I have a choice to make. And like Peter did, he made a tremendous choice. And I was just reading this verse in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That's incredible. So we like Peter, he received the word at that moment. And I personally believe this. At that moment, we had a choice, you know, whether, you know, to listen to the Holy Spirit, give us something from the Word, or listen to my flesh. And I like what you said, Pastor John, even good things, you know, we could be doing, you know, but maybe it's not what God wants us to do, whatever. But anyway, when I receive what the Holy Spirit has for me, at that moment, I chose and I received something from God, and Christ is being formed in me to a measure and to a degree at that moment. I'm getting to know him. I'm growing in grace and knowledge of Christ. I love it. And he produces, it effectually works in me. It works. It's amazing, you know, just, and he leads us and guides us. And like all them disciples left when they heard Jesus say, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any life in you. He was bringing out something amazing, you know, but it was more spiritual than a physical thing. But they couldn't understand it, and they left him and followed him no more. Many of them left and followed him no more. The bottom line is, do we know who he is? Do we know how awesome he is? If I don't understand something, I'm not going to leave. He's going to teach me later. I'm not going to know everything at once, but I know who he is, and I'm not leaving, and he effectually works in me.
Amen. Beautiful thoughts, Tom. Thank you so much. You just added so greatly to our theme and our subject that we're talking about today, and I love that passage that you brought out in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Yes.
Because when you receive the word of God and you receive it as it is in truth, the word of God rather than the word of men, it effectually does its work in you.
Yes, it's amazing. It's incredible. And then he's, like Pastor Stewart said, then he's leading me. And, you know, this is something I want to share. It's kind of personal. This thought comes to me every once in a while. There's a difference between needing and loving. Like, in other words, I need to hear the word. I need to listen to God. I need it. But when I do it, I want more. Like, in other words, it produces more. You know, it produces a hunger inside of us. So like that word says, it effectually works in us. You know, so it's producing something and making me more hungry. The need made me, at the result of me receiving from God for my need, made me more hungry to want him.
Amen. Beautiful.
Well, Tom, thank you. You're always full of the Word of God. You're a seasoned believer, you're a mature believer, I'm always quickened every time I fellowship with you. So thank you so much for that call. It was awesome.
I love you guys. Have a good one.
You too, sir.
Phone lines are open. You can join us. Plenty of time to take your calls. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number, and you can dial that number anywhere in North America. And right here in Baltimore, you can join us, friends, at 410-483-3700. Tess has written to us from Sweden, and she says, I'm reminded of the song. It goes like this: light the fire in my soul, fan the flame and make me whole, light the fire in my heart again. Pastor Stevens said once in one of his booklets, Keep the Fire Burning, he said, thank God for all his wise provisions. She said, I had a great time in Richmond last Saturday, though it was raining. the whole day, but we were able to share the gospel with a young man named Victor. Please pray for his salvation as well as for me. I have a cough due to the heat wave that has made me somewhat sick. Homesick, she says, from my chilly home in Sweden. Okay, Father, please touch Tess today. We thank you so much for her faith and her fellowship in Christ. And just bless her and just heal her body. Make her whole again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know what, Pastor Love, I just looking at her testimony about Richmond, I had something similar. We were in Richmond as well with you, Tess. And that was so unique in the park. It was raining the whole afternoon. But we just fanned out, and we just were able to talk to people that were really open, you know? And the rain didn't quench the fire that was in our heart.
Amen.
But this guy named Victor you're talking about, we had a doctor named Andrew that we talked to the day before out in a shopping center, myself and Pastor Steve Paragallo. And I still, his face is still burning in my heart because we spoke the words of life to him. He was under incredible conviction by the Holy Spirit. And again, you know, you meet a person soul winning and God gives you a burden for that person and your heart burns in you for that person to get saved. And you don't forget about that person quickly either. So I'm with you, Tess.
Amen. Still have time to take your calls. So if you'd like to join us, now's the time to pick up that phone and dial one of those numbers as we continue to discuss this theme of having a heart on fire. And wouldn't you say, Pastor Sturge, that sometimes the seasons can impact this subject matter that we're talking about today? In other words, summertime comes, it may be easy for people to let down their guard, mm-hmm. to relax a little bit more, and maybe some are thinking, well, because of the warm weather, I need to spend a little bit more time at the beach and the ocean. Don't misunderstand me. Everybody takes vacations, and you should take them, and they're essential and necessary to be together with your family and your loved ones, but you know, sometimes you can extend things like that in your life and miss out on some of those opportunities to keep that fire burning in your heart. And, you know, some people, all of us potentially could let that happen. And that's one of those areas that we have to guard our hearts in. Because, you know, who's responsible for my heart except me, right? I'm told personally in Proverbs 4:23 to guard my heart and to keep it with all diligence, because out of it come all of the issues of life. Everything about my life is affected through my heart. So I've got to guard my heart in terms of my schedule, in terms of my resources, in terms of my relationships, and in every sense of the word, the responsibility to guard my heart is with me.
Beautiful. I thought of this. That you made me think of this example. In the old days, when they would go from a camp to a camp, they would be traveling. People, their only source of heat was that fire, and they would have these iron containers that they would put coals of fire in, and they were responsible to keep those coals burning for the next place that they went to start the new fire. And if they didn't guard those coals and keep them hot on the journey, they had no fire to start when they got to their next destination.
Wow. Amazing.
Isn't that?
Well, life for all of us is a journey. And the responsibility to keep our hearts on fire is, again, no one else's responsibility,
nope.
but ours,
yeah.
personally.
Yeah. And again, what are some of the other practical things? Like we talked about the Word of God. We talked about maybe thinking of certain people. What are some other things that you do, Pastor Love, to keep your heart on fire?
I think one of the things that we should do consistently in our lives is worship God. That's going to help to keep our hearts on fire. Because what is worship when you stop and think about it? It's you take your eyes and your mind off of yourself and you place those thoughts on God. And as you do, and you consider the nature of God, the character of God, the gracious ways in which God has dealt with you, his patience, his kindness, the fact that he puts up with so much of our foolishness and, you know, loves us despite our mistakes, failures, personal struggles that maybe have been a part of our lives forever, that helps you to keep your heart on fire. Mm. So I would say the scriptures, obviously. Prayer, definitely. Worship, it's essential.
Yeah.
Those three elements will go a long way to helping keep our hearts on fire.
Yeah, yeah. And to go along with worship, too, is there's certain songs that really stir my heart up. There's certain songs that I love to listen to that consider the lilies, the one Mary LaFlame used to sing. Just every time I hear it, I'm broken, I'm stirred, my heart is warmed. My wife and I heard, we're listening to last week, 4th of July, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And the verses in that song are so powerful. They are so powerful. A hymn.
Yes.
A hymn.
Yes.
You know, but these are things we can do just to keep, to warm our hearts. Another thing, Pastor Stevens, I remember him saying, just stop and ponder the cross. Stop and ponder the Lord Jesus Christ nailed on that cross. Picture it. When I get dull and when I get carnal in my heart, so many times I remember just getting on my knees and just picturing him hanging there, bleeding and dying for me personally. And his love, and then a scripture will come, right? You'll be pondering, and then a scripture will come. Unto him who ever loves us, in Revelations 1:5, and has loosed us from our sins by his own blood, has washed us from our own sins by his own blood. These types of things are what really can get us out of whatever funk that we're in.
Yeah, it's so true. And you mentioned that Ephesians 5:19 says that we should practice this speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in our hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then even submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. All of these things, practically speaking, can make such an impact in our lives spiritually. So it goes without saying that we have to find what some of those practical ways are that help us personally to keep our hearts on fire.
Yeah. And then also, how about this? Pastor Schauer spoke Sunday morning, Isaiah 58. I'm in darkness. I'm in complete darkness. And what was the fast? What was the fast that God chose? It wasn't to beat yourself up because you're dry or you're cold, and it wasn't to try to live in self introspection, which is what a lot of us do when we do get lukewarm or we get cold. We live in self introspection, and we just get darker and darker. But he said this, in 58. He said, verse 7, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that you bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when you see the naked that you cover him, that you hide not yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth as the morning. Your health shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Verse 10, and if you draw out your soul to the hungry, Pastor Ronaldo mentioned this yesterday on the missions morning, if you draw out your soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide you continually, satisfy your soul in drought, and make fat your bones. And we could just go on and on with that, but can I give you another testimony? I'll never forget. It was Both of my kids had moved out of the house. They both moved away, and it was just my wife and I, the first Thanksgiving that we were alone. And I remember waking up that morning very heavy, feeling very just almost depressed that my kids weren't here. And it was just a dark morning, and it was Thanksgiving. And I sure didn't feel thankful at all. But God gave me this verse, as a rhema, Isaiah 58:10. And I remember that Pastor Dan, in Thanksgiving morning, goes out and feeds the homeless. So I had never done it before. I got in the car, went there, and I was so released. It was the best Thanksgiving I ever had. It was and my heart was stirred because we stepped outside of ourselves and helped other people.
Wow. It's amazing.
Yeah.
In the message Sunday morning that Pastor Schaller preached, he asked the question to the audience here in our chapel, does God want us to remember where we once were? Does God want us to remember what we were doing before he stepped into our lives and saved us and delivered us? And, the answer is yes. Of course God wants us, because that will go a long way to stirring your heart. That will go a long way to keeping your heart on fire. When you reflect back and you realize, hey, I was once in darkness, but, God brought me into the kingdom of his dear son.
Wow.
The scripture even goes so far, because we say that. We say, well, there was a time I was in darkness. Well, the Bible actually says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says that you were the darkness. Mm. You weren't even just in it. You were the darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. To reflect back upon those days and the condition that our souls were once in, and now to look at our lives and to say, but now you are clean, now you are justified, now you are righteous, now you are holy, now you belong to God, and you're a part of a holy nation, a royal priesthood. I mean, that is incredible.
It is.
And that gives us this incentive and motivation to show forth or to proclaim the gracious way in which God has dealt with us, and to tell others, he will deal with you graciously just as he has dealt with me graciously. It kind of goes back to what we were saying about these disciples on the road to Emmaus. God opened the scriptures. Absolutely. It starts with that. Then he opened their eyes. That's what the scriptures do. We can see spiritually. And then they opened their mouths. Mm. They began to say, yes, it is true. He is alive. He is our Redeemer. Pastor Serge, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, sir.
Great to have you with us, and great to have you folks with us as well. Thanks for being with us today. We'll be back for the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour in a little less than 24 hours from now. We hope you'll join us then. Until then, may God bless you.